Episode of Reboot America. This is David Smith with my good friend Cinzia Croce. Good evening, Cinzia.
Good evening to you, David.
We have a very, very interesting set of events going on in the Middle East. Israel, Palestine, the Levant, Canaan, whatever you want to call it. And I think that there are a lot of things that could be coming down the pike. Some of them could be farther into the future. You said at one point, I think that this is going to happen really fast. I tend to agree. And so I think that we need to get some thoughts and comments out there. Before I'd launch into kind of the direction I'd like to go with this, do you have any initial thoughts on it?
I agree with you because I think this may be one of the most consequential events in history. I think this could be right up there with the fall of the Berlin Wall. That was another event that no one predicted. No one foresaw it. When it happened as you just said, very, very quickly. I'm a little hesitant to go into it because I don't have that great deal of background of knowledge, but I do think we're in a good position to share our thoughts. And I do think what is happening in the Middle East right now is very consequential.
I think the Berlin Wall reference is brilliant.
Thank you.
I think that's a really good historical reference. I'd like to start off with something that has kind of been a sort of a passion of mine. I've never really taken time to delve into it, become expert on the topic, but I've paid attention to it over the years, and that is propaganda. We have seen a lot of stuff being said, quite frankly, by both sides. That's just straight up propaganda. I don't mean to say that the Israelis are the evil ones. No, no. The best illustration I can give for all of this is in the movie Captain Marvel, where Carol Danvers kind of regains her memory and figures out that she's been on the wrong side. And she's been at war against the alien lizard shape-shifting creatures. And she says to their leader, you know, I am so sorry. And he just looks at her and says, Carol, my hands are dirty with the blood. This is war. Stuff happens. I kind of see that illustration as what's going on in Israel and Palestine. We have two groups who are both involved in propaganda in their warfare. There's a bunch of junk that's coming out of both sides. And what I wanted to talk about specific to Israel is that there are so many points that we heard in the early days that have been completely discredited and debunked and shown to be flat-out lies, quite frankly. Would you like to recount the what's the famous phrase, oh, how I love you, let me count the ways? Would you like to recount the number of just bunk claims that were made in the early hours and first couple of days of this by the Israelis that have been just completely discredited?
Oh, I mean, let's start with the 40 beheaded babies.
What have you seen about that that is true? Have there been any confirmed decapitated babies?
I have not seen any confirmed decapitated babies. The way it was exposed was that when the Israeli newspapers started releasing the names of the victims of the October 7th attack, there were no children listed. I think there was only one child that was listed and one infant, and it's not clear how the infant died. What struck me about it, it's just not the number of just flat out easily disprovable. This is so ridiculous. They've been disproved easily, but just how it just amateurish their propaganda has been.
Yeah, you're right. That's been very unimpressive.
I mean, I always operated under the impression that this is something that the Israeli knew how to do well, how to handle public relations well. And to watch him is just being so crude. That's really what surprises me.
Yes.
Two sides are making outrageous claims. I mean, I sort of expect that in any conflict. But to see something so
egregious.
I mean, another one was Carolyn Glick tweeting did, that Hamas baked a baby in the oven. Again, I mean, there's just absolutely no proof of that.
Oh my God, check this out. So I just Googled this. Carolyn Glick, that was a tweet.
Yeah.
It's still up, unedited, unchanged. They baked a Jewish baby alive in an oven. They murdered his father. They gang raped his mother over and laughed all along while they baked her baby alive in the oven. Palestinians support Hamas. They love Hamas. No resupply, no concessions, no mercy.
Well, listen, I hear people still bringing up the lampshades from World War II when it has been disproven. None of the many, many, many Holocaust museums we have in the country any longer claim that there were lampshades made out of human skin. But there's still people who will trot out that old trope. So I'm not surprised that she kept it up. But I am surprised that they have made so many outlandish claims. I mean, the other example was, of course, the bombing of the hospital. Initially, one of the spokespeople for Netanyahu, he tweeted and took credit for the bombing. Then they realized it was a PR disaster, so they deleted the tweet. Then they said, no, it's not us. This is Hamas. It's one of the rockets that went astray. People started comparing the sound between rockets that Hamas has and the JDAMs that the Israeli military has. And it's clear that that sound is not the Hamas rocket. So they kind of had to back away from that, but at least we made progress. They no longer deny bombing hospitals. So I suppose that's some sort of progress.
That's sick that's, you know, even in the realm of conversation.
I mean, I don't mean to laugh or...
No, I get what you mean. It's crazy that's even in the realm of discussion, that we're so quickly having so much just rank propaganda debunked, and in many cases so
they've had to back off the initial claim that there were mass rapes and that they raped women on top of dead bodies.
I mean, has there been any evidence that came out that actually supported that claim that you have seen anywhere? Because I mean, you would think that with all of the stuff that we're hearing, for example, just on Fox News alone, all of the pro-Israel reporting that we're hearing on Fox News, if you had women who had been raped, if there had been mass rapes, if there had been 3 confirmed cases of rape out of all of the however many mass rapes that they said, you know, if there had been 3 cases of it, we would now know the names of those women. They would now be on Yale Eckstein, would be extolling, you know, help them, you know, Christian International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, help them, you know, recover from their injuries and trauma and so on and so forth. And I mean, I'm not hearing that. I'm not hearing the confirmation of these wild claims. This is on the order of the 2 things that you always talk about from World War II, the lampshades. What was the other one?
Soap that was the mattress that was made out of the hair of the Jewish victims of the Holocaust, and which, by the way, they were shaving people's heads because there was a lice problem. So why would you want to make a mattress out of hair? Out of hair infested with lice.
So I mean, some of these claims are just on scale and order of that sort of stuff.
This is nothing new.
Mass rapes, 40 decapitated babies. You know, that's pretty damn specific. 40 decapitated babies. You'd think by now that we would have heard the names of 3 of them.
That's exactly how people started getting suspicious. It's like, well, what are the names of these babies? No name. Where are the relatives? There was not a relative, the step forward.
The 1,400 dead Israelis, the most Jews killed in one day since World War II.
Since the Holocaust. Oh, you gotta bring up the Holocaust, David.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry that didn't lead my statement. You're exactly right. It turns out now that they say that the 1,400 number was probably grossly exaggerated. It was at least as low as 900 is the number that I've heard. That's the lowest number that I've heard.
It was around maybe 1,200 at the most. And then they had to say, well, in that 1,200 number, there were some Hamas fighters that were burned beyond recognition. So we ended up counting Hamas as dead Israelis.
And then using them as propaganda to the world to say, send us money quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, 900 is the smallest number that I've heard. That's an old number now. I don't know if that's been further refined. I don't know if we have a number. Probably not. I mean, when you're counting the Hamas fighters that were burned beyond recognition by the Hellfire missiles fired from helicopters that were...
Yeah, that was the other interesting thing, because they showed these burned bodies. And then people started raising questions and said, well, wait a sec. Hamas had a small arms fire. I mean, they had some grenade. I mean, you're not going to be able to burn beyond recognition with the kind of firepower that Hamas had. And of course, eventually they had to admit that it was the Israeli Apache helicopters. They were called in and essentially they just shot up everything. Apparently Israel has this Hannibal directive where in order to prevent Israeli hostages from being taken, then you just kill everybody. And this was a massive hostage situation. So they just shot up everything. I mean, the same thing is true with what happened in the kibbutz, where people started seeing these concrete walls that were just knocked out and said, well, wait a second, how could Hamas do this? They don't have that kind of weaponry. I'm not saying that Hamas would not do it if they had the firepower. They probably would. But they don't have it, so they can't do it. And then again, it came out that, oh no, these were Israeli tanks to shell the houses. Like, so you killed your own people. Yeah, you killed Hamas. Along with Hamas, you killed your own people. And then you pass them off as Hamas brutality.
Yeah, friendly fire isn't. That was one of the comics back in the 80s, I want to say. These guys were killed by friendly fire. They were killed by their own people, so many of them. Not all of them, but so many of them were. Another one I want to talk about without taking too much time on any one of these, but, you know, basically as these have been debunked, the hospital you mentioned, I believe, Do we have confirmation for certain that it was the Israelis? I don't know who else would have done it, but I don't think that I've seen confirmation from any military or government that said, yes, the Israelis bombed the hospital. But
what they're doing right now, their tactics are really two. They just walk away from their crazy allegations, unsubstantiated allegation. And then, of course, they call anti-Semite anyone who questions them. You saw the drama queen at the UN, that they put the star on their chest, you know, like they were in World War II, and the yellow star. And look, in a way, I don't blame them, because let's face it, those tactics have worked very well for them all these years. Something is different this time. I wonder what it is, but the name calling of anti-Semite, Jew hater, bringing up the Holocaust, not helping them.
I want to go through the propaganda that we've heard from the Israeli government specifically. Are we missing any major points? We've heard about, let me see, there was back at the hospital again. We've heard about Hamas headquarters underneath, and you had told me that is actually, the Israelis knew about that because they built that tunnel system underneath the hospital. So they knew it existed. And when they got there and they knew where it was, they knew to open it up, there was nothing in it.
I think that was the equivalent of not finding WMDs in Iraq. They made a video, it pans into the hospital, and then it goes underneath the floors and it shows the command and control. I mean, very sophisticated looking command and control. And then when they went there, there was nothing. They did a video which they claimed that it was uncut, and they went through and they said, look, we found some weapon, and they had some rifles in the back of an MRI, which, by the way, to have any kind of metal object in an MRI room, that's just...
You're asking for some trouble, let's put it that way. If you want to look at the kind of trouble that sort of stuff will cause, just pull up the movie Venom and look at how the critter that's in the guy reacts when that thing at 5,000 hertz clicks on. I mean, you don't want metal to be around that.
No, you don't want the metal sound
to be around that, because, yeah, that'll... God.
They put out the video and then they deleted it because people started looking at it and saying, wait a second, why? This doesn't look right. And I mean, this has been one PR disaster after another for Israel.
And that's not the first time that I've heard of the Israelis deleting social media posts. And I mean, boy, if there isn't anything worse in the world to show that your propaganda is just that, propaganda, lies, it is that you delete it and replace it with something else. Yeah, your term amateurish is absolutely I don't know that that's strong enough. Sophomoric?
Another one was they went into a police station and, oh my God, they found guns at a police station. It's reaching for straws here. It's a police station. Why would it be weird? Why would it be weird to be...
Did you find any JDAMs in there? No JDAMs?
It's just... Now, from the side of the Palestinians, most of the propaganda that I've seen is that they show people being dug out of the rubble and being taken to the hospital and that...
Sure, dead bodies, injured people being hauled into... Yeah, that's going to happen. This is war. I mean, that's going to happen.
Tell you what, though, no one has looked at the Palestinian propaganda and said, no, that child was not buried in the rubble. No, that child did not die. It's raw. It's obviously they are purposely filming dead bodies because that is going to inflame the emotions, especially of the Muslim world. But actually inflames the emotion of anybody with any kind of decency because... You're killing children for what? I don't think anyone objected to Israel fighting Hamas.
You mentioned the Palestinian propaganda, and I was very impressed with the number of the Palestinian fighters on October 7th who had video cameras on them or with them. And I've always suspected that that is because they knew that if they didn't have video evidence of where they went, each one of them, each of their groups, what they were doing and what they were not doing, they knew that the Israelis and their friends in the West, in the Western media, the propaganda on the side of the Israelis was going to paint an image of them as just these barbaric yops. They knew that they had to have that in order to dispel what the Israelis were going to say was happening.
That was the reason. It was a pretty smart move on their part. There was a hostage. She was a woman. That she was in the kibbutz and she was inside the house. Apparently a Hamas fighter went there. She was talking about him. It's like, I'm not going to do anything to you. And then he asked permission to eat one of her bananas. I'm sorry, but this caricature of Hamas that we've been told in the West, it just doesn't line up with what we're actually hearing and seeing. I'm watching videos of the hostages. They're being released. They all look in good shape. They're waving to the Hamas fighters goodbye. And you could say Stockholm Syndrome. I mean, I don't know.
Well, the one old woman who, Israeli, who reached out and shook the hand, she reached out to and shook the hand of the Hamas fighter as she was being released, as she was leaving. She didn't spit in his face. She didn't slap him. She didn't reach for something and throw it at him or assault him. She stuck out her hand and he took it and she shook his hand. Now, like you said, maybe Stockholm Syndrome, but she wasn't with them for too terribly long.
Imagine if you're a hostage. I mean, you're a hostage. That is not a happy situation, no matter what. They feed you and they take care of your medical needs. In the meantime, your own government is indiscriminately bombing the very place where you're being held.
And other places like it and killing other people like you, your own people. Your own government is killing your own people.
I don't know if you want to say anything else about the propaganda, but this is not working out very well for Israel. And I think Israel has shown a side that most of us in the West did not know.
Well, one other thing I want to say about the propaganda situation. I've had this thought before, but specific to this lady who reached her hand out and shook the hand of the Hamas fighter. One explanation of that could be that this woman has heard the propaganda of her own country talking about these people, saying these are subhuman.
Yes.
These are less worthy. These are monsters. These are all the terrible things that they've said about over the years. And then now she has been in presence of these people and this man specifically, whether he was with her the whole time, whether he did something for her, whether he protected her, whether he provided her with something, or whether he just simply was not a subhuman monster, literally worse than Adolf Hitler. And she's just taken aback. Maybe the explanation is that he was not what the Israeli propaganda said he was. He did not behave as this woman would expect him to have behaved. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
It can make sense because, I mean, obviously, if you've been told all these horrible stories that, oh, God forbid you fall into the hands of a Hamas, if you're a woman, they will rape you and cut off your breast and
pin you and turn you into lampshades, shave your head, turn you into a mattress, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, all these horrible things.
Nobody beats Jewish. The creativity is just amazing in a weird way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's why they make the best Hollywood, right? I don't know.
That's a real gift they have.
They have imagination.
It's unparalleled. Imagine you've been told this all your life, and then the next thing you know, they're not abusing you. They feed you. They take care of you.
They're feeding you. They're taking care of you. They're saying we have to move. This isn't a safe place to be in. Wait a second.
They're keeping you from being bombed from your own country.
Yeah. If somebody told that to me, I'd be pretty suspicious of it. But it would certainly be worth a handshake when I'm released. That would certainly be, hey, thank you for taking care of me, keeping me alive. I appreciate
it. There's nothing that required them to shake their hand or smile or wave goodbye or anything.
Now, I want to shift from propaganda topic to prisoner release, the prisoner exchange. And just you take lead on this and talk some about this because you're more familiar with this.
They released two elderly women. They didn't get anything in exchange. Actually, they offered those ladies and initially only the Israeli government refused. Now, is it true? I don't know. This could be an example of Hamas propaganda. But apparently in the kibbutz, the socialist paradise where they were going to work the land, the Jews were going to work the land. Well, apparently the modern version of the kibbutz is to import cheap labor from Thailand, from the Philippines, sort of almost indentured slaves. They're paid very little. And that's who actually does the work in these kibbutz. And when Hamas came in and took hostages, a lot of Filipinos and Thai workers were taken in as hostages too. And Hamas released them. They didn't negotiate anything in exchange because they were not Israeli. They just got caught because they were there and they had nothing to do with it. So again, I mean, if these people are just barbarians, and of course the Israeli government has worked overtime to make us in the West feel that Israel is the bulwark against, you know, crazy Islamists. If we are defeated, you're next, America, you're next, Europe. How many times have you heard that talking point?
Oh, yeah.
If Israel goes down, if Israel doesn't hold back these crazy Islamics, terrorists, they're going to come in and they're going to kill all of us. Well, if that is the truth, why didn't they kill the Filipinos? Why didn't they kill the Thai? Why didn't they try to get anything? Why feed them for 49 days? I mean, Israel has reduced food supplies in Gaza the last month or so. If these were just barbarians, why didn't they just kill these Thai Filipino people? It just doesn't add up. They spent years and years putting out this image about Hamas, this image about the Palestinians, to convince us in the West to go and fight their wars in the Middle East. And now all of it has been revealed as a big, big lie.
You said very early on in all of this that Israel needed to do something, and they've just done that. Go into and talk about that, of what should have been done, when, and what's happened as a result of that. Go into that.
What I said was that if Israel wants to save itself, first of all, Netanyahu needs to resign. The man is a disaster. And then the other thing would have been to do a ceasefire and to just negotiate the release of the hostages, and then go to a negotiating table and work out a two-state solution. That's the only way Israel is going to save itself. Now, if they had taken my advice, think of all the negative PR that Israel could have avoided. And by the way, they probably would have been able to get away with the 40 beheaded baby story and the rapes and all of that, because it would have been a prisoner exchange. Everything could have gone quiet. That would have been the end of it. But instead, they insisted, Netanyahu insisted he was going to go into Gaza and he was going to eradicate Hamas, which is not doable. I know that people say, oh, just go there and finish them off and take them out. It's not that easy. It's not that easy. And we Americans should know that because we tried to eradicate the Taliban for what, 20 years? It's not that easy to eradicate these movements, especially when, I mean, in Afghanistan, that was their land. It wasn't our land. In Gaza, these are people that have been kept in a prison for 20 years. They want to be independent. They don't want to have Israel control their water, their electricity, their movement. So anyway, long story short, I think if they had done the hostage exchange deal that they're doing now, I think they would have avoided a lot of the bad PR. I think they probably would have gotten away with some of their outrageous stories. Israel would have been better off. I just don't see how Israel recovers from the last month. Because yes, it still has the United States on its side. Yes, it still has the boomers and the evangelicals, although I'm starting to sense that some of the evangelicals are getting a little shaky. Okay, they're not so sure about the rapture. I'm getting that feeling. Maybe I'm wrong. But the rest of the world, they're on to Israel's lies and they oppose it. They see it as the problem in the Middle East. And so I just don't see how Israel survives this in the long run. What do you think?
This has been an absolute PR disaster for them. All of their propaganda is being shown to be just exactly that. And as I said earlier today, this is going to call into question everything that they've ever said, kind of in a position where our politicians are kind of obligated to Israel. And that doesn't serve our interests. Tell me if I'm accurate. The only supporters, the only friends that Israel has on the face of the planet are Zionists, primarily boomer, conservative, Republican evangelicals in the United States.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They do have the political class in Western Europe, although they have gone awfully quiet. The initial reaction was to project the Israeli flag on famous buildings all over Western Europe. They're not doing that anymore. They're gone very, very quiet. So it's quickly falling apart, even in the West. But they do have a lot of control in Washington, D.C.
Polling shows that the older population tends to support Israel much more than the younger population does. Very, very significantly, the support for Israel is in the, say, 60-plus, 50-plus circle. Under 50, it drops off like a rock. Black community here and pretty much any other minority community here is taking the side of Palestine in this, and they're showing up in hundreds of thousands in cities all over North America in support of Palestine. That does not bode well for Israel long term. If they're 20 years away from their support dying, literally, then they're 20 years away from basically, excuse the expression, from the river to the sea, just being scraped right off into the ocean.
I mean, it's just been one hit after another, after another, after another. The whole mythology of Israel has been destroyed in the last month. Israel will be around as long as the United States is a superpower and still backs it. But like you said, you can probably go and start ticking down the time on the calendar because the new generation has a completely different attitude. Did you think a month ago that the reputation of Israel, their army, their surveillance, everything about their propaganda?
You know, October 1st to today is a complete contrast. And any Jewish Israeli citizen who is still there has to be mortified. And I mean, the speed with which this came down, it's astounding.
It's like the Berlin Wall. I remember watching it and thinking, I can't believe this is really happening.
Yes.
When you and I met back in 2010, we both were super pro-Israel. I went to AIPAC meetings. I volunteered to the kosher chili cook-off for the Republican Jewish Coalition. And sometimes I think about it and it's like, my goodness, how times have changed. But then again, I bought into everything. I bought into the entire propaganda. I bought into the AIPAC talking points. But once you get beyond it, and you start looking at the truth, it's been an interesting journey for me. And I think more and more people are going through the same journey that you and I have gone through.
So anyway, thank you so much. Long episode, lots of editing for you to come, but a great discussion, a very interesting topic.
Yes, it is a very interesting topic. And maybe we can revisit some aspects of it.
Definitely, because any one of these can be expanded significantly. But I think for now, I think that closes us out. Good evening to you.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you again soon.